needs. But we pray that you will be pleased to bless our own missionaries working under our denomination, that they may be helped, that they may be mightily used in these times. We also pray for those that are in difficulties financially, O Lord, that they may be helped by that local mission or church. And we pray that you will be glorified in the love that is shown toward them. And we ask tonight that you will guide us in your word. We just pray for your word to be well received by faith with joy in the Holy Ghost and your blessing upon us in the Savior's name. We ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. Now we come to Acts 11, and we were reading beginning at verse 19, and you will find the name of the city of Antioch right in verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which were they were come to Antioch. Now, if you draw a line due north from Jerusalem, 300 miles north, you will come to the city of Antioch. And in this series on Paul's life and ministry, we move now from Arabia, where he spent all those years in that desert place, to the city of Antioch. We move from the wilderness to the third most important city in the world at that time, after Rome and after Alexandria. Antioch was the Greek capital of the East. It was called the Gate City to the East. And because it was accessible by ship from the Mediterranean, although it was inland, the river Orontes enabled shipping right into Antioch from the Mediterranean, it was truly the place where East met West. And so it was a place of tremendous diversity of cultures and languages, and had a very valid and important history. It was a trading center. It was a Roman colony. It was an architectural wonder with Roman influence at that time. It was noted for its famous marble mosaics, and it was a city of Oriental mythology and magic arts. At the gate of the Mediterranean, Antioch was the place to be to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, this also was the city where Paul met Peter, and they had that head-on collision that we read off in Galatians 2, verse 11. That face-off between Peter and Paul took place in Antioch, and here we are now looking at this city. Now, Antioch became the Apostle Paul's home church, not Tarsus, where he was born and raised, and though he went back there for a short time, there is no record of a church in Tarsus during that time. And the Spirit of God did not seem to work there. Paul was not used there, but rather his home church was this city of Antioch. Now, a home church is where a missionary is counted as their man. He is one of them, going forth with their blessing, with their prayers and labors and their support. A home church should care for the spreading of the gospel, and it becomes the strong fortress for the worker and the vision of taking the gospel to other places. It should be a refuge place and a place of reloading of ammunition to take the gospel forth. Now, the church at Antioch was all of this to the Apostle Paul and to many others. And here we have a model missionary church. And as we are interested in Paul's life and ministry, we want to see how the congregation at Antioch supported him. We know that he had no support from the city of Jerusalem. All he got from that city was abuse and life threats and danger. But here in Antioch, the fellowship was sweet. He was among brothers and sisters who loved the Lord, and they loved Paul for the gospel's sake. And so we want to look at this church in Antioch in relation to Paul's labors. Look at the text here, look at these verses, and you'll see in verse 19, that you have the birth of the church at Antioch. It was born out of persecution, and that persecution, which commenced in Jerusalem, and remember we've already noted Stephen's martyrdom, and Paul was there as a young unconverted man, and he was probably shouting on for that stoning, which he deeply regretted later. But that persecution in Jerusalem caused a tsunami of persecution right around these areas. And here we find in Antioch many people who were displaced, and now they were establishing a gospel church. In verse 20, you will see that it was born out of Christ-centered preaching. They came to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, there's an awful lot in those few words. Here they were coming to a Greek people, not Jews, but people of a educated but ungodly background. And perhaps for the first time, there is a concentrated effort to take the gospel to these people. There must have been much labor, energy, prayer, and ministry that went into that effort. But God was in it, because this church was born out of Christ-centered preaching. You'll see in verse 21 that it was born out of the Lord's hand at work, and the hand of the Lord was with them. I just love those words. The hand of the Lord was with them. We have seen before in the Bible men of God whose hand, the hand of the Lord was upon them. And how we need the hand of the Lord upon us in God's work. It makes all the difference in the world. Doesn't matter how many helpers or many supporters you have, if you don't have the hand of the Lord, you're not going to accomplish very much. And so this church was born out of God's power at work in the midst of them. You will see that it was born out of many converts. It says a great number believed. Praise the Lord. We would rejoice in such fruitful evangelism. After the preaching of the Lord Jesus, to see so many people converted. And so this was a large church. It was a church with multiple ministers, a church that was of massive size because of the numbers of conversions. Now, also in that verse 21, you will see that they not only received the word and believed, but they turned unto the Lord. That's a very good definition of what a Christian is. One who has turned everything over to the Lord, turned away from the world. There's repentance. There's the spirit of having done with everything that is man-centered, world-centered, and disobedient to God. And so these were people who just didn't merely give lip service and say, I believe, but their lives spoke volumes. They truly turned to the Lord. And this is what we should expect when the gospel is preached and the Spirit of God works. When people say that they believe, then we want to see that mighty change in their lives where they turn to the Lord. But note that it was through the faithful witnessing of these Christians who were scattered abroad due to their persecution that brought these things about. And so we see our responsibility here. We can't just rest on our laurels. We can't just hold back and say the Lord will do the work. Oh yes, he will work with us, and he will work in us, and he may use us, but we have to work. And I trust that in the days to come, as we get back together in particular and things are a little more relaxed as far as restrictions and the pandemic problems, that we will be a church of vision and of a burden to evangelize. This city, this country needs Christ. And I pray the Lord will make this church, this congregation, a veritable Antioch, a place where the Lord's hand is at work and where many are converted, believe, and truly turn to the Lord. Now, I come to the Barnabas factor in this church at Antioch. You will see that his name comes up here in verse 22, and he was the first man that was sent out from Jerusalem. There was news of this work of the gospel going on at Antioch, and so Barnabas was sent out by the church in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. That was his destination point. And he was the man sent out to bring and check things out. You'll notice in verse 23 that he was mightily excited. He was glad for what he saw and witnessed. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. So he was an evangelist, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And so Barnabas' ministry there was truly effective and blessed of God. And then in verse 25, you will see that Barnabas and others became exhausted. They became incapable of continuing the work without help. And that's where they sent for Saul, or Paul the Apostle. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And so we learn from this that Paul was at that time back in his home city where he grew up. And there it seems that he wasn't really doing much. There was no church that we know of, no work of God that we know of. And so his services were sought by the church at Antioch. It was kind of a call, come over and help us. And that is when Paul became a minister in the church at Antioch. And that's when it became his home church, the place where he was supported, where he was prayed for, and a place where he was used of God. Now, it says in verse 26 that when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And so you can see this church being strengthened. They were a church in great need. They needed ministry of the word, and for this Paul was sought. And we are told there that they taught much people. And so Paul had a teaching ministry right there in that city of Antioch. And again, disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, there's a lot of discussion about how that came about. Was it a nickname that was given by others? But obviously there was a need to differentiate these disciples of Christ, those followers of the gospel, from any other sects, especially the Jewish sects. And Christianity now became a separate entity with a separate name, and now its witness became established. It was no little offshoot. It was a mighty movement for Christ. Oh, what power came down upon those people. Now, I want you to notice the character reference that is given to Barnabas. It says in verse 24, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And there are always those people in the Lord's church, and there is no other way to describe them rather than by saying that they are good, a good man, a good woman. They are godly, kind, gentle, generous, supportive, encouraging, faithful, loyal, always present, always there to lay a hand of help, and they are Christ-like. And so we see it's not gifts alone, it is graces that also count. And the person that may be the most humble, the most inconspicuous, is yet the person that in the church is solid gold. And we could do with a whole army of such Christians in the Lord's church, like Barnabas, good in the work of the gospel. And you'll notice that Barnabas didn't try to do all the work alone. He sought the help of Paul, and there were other laborers in the church as well. Indeed, Barnabas, and we call this the Barnabas factor, in that he was really the bridge and the middleman to try and put others to work. And what a useful man he was. We have a man in our mission work in Northern Ireland who has served in our mission board for, I'm guessing now, 50 years. And Lord willing, he will be spared by the Lord. He has ill health at this time. But our brother George McConnell, he is a man who really is like Barnabas. He's not a frontline missionary. He's not a missionary himself, but he looks after the supply lines. And he has been the instrument of God to support and supply missionaries for many, many, many years. And as we know, wars are fought and won by the efficiency of the supply lines. And there are missionaries that may go out into the mission field and they may do a good work. But because of lack of support, whether it's financial or prayerful or guidance, due to the loneliness of it all, they become ineffective. But when the supply line is strong and there's relief and support, then that missionary can sustain the work and be effective for God. And Barnabas is very much like that. And we praise God that in the Lord's church, he raises up good men, good women, who are supporters and the Lord's instruments in the work of the gospel. I wonder, would you consider yourself a Barnabas? You are not an apostle. You may not even be a preacher. You may not even have some teaching gift, but you do have administrative gifts, and you have a burden for missions. You can pray, you can support, you can be there for God's workers. And I trust the Lord will raise up many such as Barnabas in days to come. Now, thirdly and finally, we come to the blessing of the church at Antioch as Paul's home church. Now, I'm going to go over to chapter 13 and the opening verses, and we will see there that it was a place to minister unto the Lord. Now, this was a great blessing to the Apostle Paul himself. It was necessary for the church, but it was also necessary to establish Paul as God's servant. And in chapter 13, verse 2, you will read there of, well, verse 1, of all the names that are mentioned, the teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, what were they doing? Verse 2 says, as they ministered to the Lord. Now, that's the priority. These men were not just ministering to themselves for their own convenience. They were not hermits nor monks. They were ministering unto the Lord. And the New Testament church, the Christian church today, must be marked with this ministry of doing all as unto the Lord, what will worship and praise his name in the meetings, in the teaching, in the pastoral counseling, one-to-one advice, in the encouragements of the saints. And by having a home church, you have a place where this is your place. It is your avenue of service. It is your place to minister. And your own standing in the fellowship of God's people, you are no longer an outsider, you're no longer a drifter, but you are part of and participant with the people of God who seek to exalt the name of Jesus. And every Christian should be able to talk about their home church. That's where you worship. That's where you serve. That's where you find your encouragement. And that's where you find your strength in the Lord. And maybe tonight I'm speaking to someone and you don't have a home church. You don't have a church where you have thrown in your lot. You have said, I'm in here to serve God. And I'm going to give my life, my time, my talents to be of service to God in this church. And that's the framework by which you use every opportunity to advance the cause of the Lord Jesus. Now, for Paul, it was the place to serve the Lord's people. Obviously, God had called him to minister and to preach the gospel, but he did it within the construct of the church. He did it within the framework of that organized body of Christians. Now, before this, Paul was in relative obscurity. There he was over in Tarsus. At least they knew where to find him. But again, as I say, there was no church there. No reference to any mighty work of God. So there is no mention in the New Testament of any church in that city of Tarsus. The Spirit of God was not at work there. And so Paul had to go and obey the call to Antioch, because that's where the Lord was working. Now, he had been driven out of Jerusalem. He was in Tarsus, but there was no church planted, and his gifts were not being utilized. And so he's to go where new Christians need help, where weary workers need help, and other churches needed help. And the Apostle Paul was obedient to that call. And so I want to emphasize again that the church becomes the avenue of service. And any young man that's going to serve God, he needs to get well grounded, well planted in the local church, get himself in the place of local service and local ministry, and then over time, God may thrust him forth as a worker, even from that congregation, supported by them. And so we can see that it is the will of God for every Christian to have a home church, a place of committed fellowship and service. And each Christian ought to be able to say, I serve in this place. That's my home church where I worship and serve the Lord. Now, this church, it was a place from which to send forth laborers. Now, I want to take time to read the first four verses in chapter 13. Well, I've done that already. I've read verse 1, so let's go to verse 2. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now, for you, this sending away, it may be across the street. The pastor might give you a bunch of leaflets that you can take to people in the community, but you're doing the work of an evangelist. It may be in another neighboring town or city that is an outreach from the church. Or it could be across the country or across the world. But you'll notice in verse 2 that it was with discernment. It was with great wisdom. And it was done with prayer in verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them away. And so they didn't do this just in a rote fashion, but they took the matter very seriously, commending the apostle and others to the work of the Lord. And they sent them forth, and it says in verse 3, they fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. But verse 4 says, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And where you have a church of praying people calling upon the Spirit of God to take this man and use him, there you have men going forth, sent by the Spirit of God. And no wonder they were mightily used in the work of the gospel. You'll see also that they had helpers. In verse 5, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. John Mark, he was their helper. And so to take care of details and supplies and various needs in their travels, John Mark went along on this first missionary trip. And in chapter 13 and 14, you have the report of that missionary journey. They went to the area of Cyprus, where Barnabas was a native, and there they ministered. And again, they saw people converted from heathendom, and the work of the gospel went forward. In chapter 15, you have Paul representing the church at Antioch. In chapter 16, he goes forth again from Antioch with the blessing of God's people at Antioch. If you look at chapter 15 and verse 40, you will see that being recommended by the brethren, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. You will see that he was always closely aligned with the ministry of the church. He did not go as a solo. He did not go as a lone ranger, but he was going sent forth by the brethren in the local church. And by that means, he was an effective missionary. This then lays down the very principle for church missions. Every church should have a vision for missions, and every church should be praying for men to be raised up from within its ranks, whom the Lord will appoint, whom the Lord will burden, and send them forth into the work of the gospel. But without a home church, how is that going to be done? Without a home church, how is someone to be sent? And so the thing now has come full circle. Paul's blessings through the church at Antioch, they called him, he ministered to them, and then they sent him forth. That is the pattern that God has stipulated and given to his servants. And we look to see that repeated over and over again. Now, we're very thankful for our missionaries that are serving the Lord in various parts of the world. On Thursday morning in our minister's prayer Skype meeting, we had Jason Boyle join with us. And it was good to hear from him firsthand what is happening there in the city of his own ministry. And we had a prayer time together. Now, Jason is from our Greenville church, that would be his home church, but his wife, Danielle, comes from our church. She was a member of this congregation before they were married and went off to live in Mexico City. And so we're thankful that we can claim Danielle as our missionary. And then there is Dave DiCanio over in Liberia, and he is from the Pennsylvania Malvern Church, and that's his home area where his mother and family live. And He is now serving the Lord in Liberia. And then there was Kathy Walker, who went from the Orlando Church out to Kenya, recently retired, and we're thankful for her ministry and work there. Right now in Jamaica, we have young men who actually were saved and developed in the local church in Jamaica. And that is very special as well, as we see these young men step forward and carry on the work of the ministry in Jamaica. And so we are thankful tonight to be part of a church and denomination that is missionary-minded, that we have a vision. We look beyond our own communities, and we pray that God will be glorified in the work of the gospel around this world. I trust that you will be a prayer warrior for the needs of our missionaries in these different places. And I trust that you will pray that we as a church will become mission-minded locally as well. There is a great work to be done here in Cloverdale, Greater Vancouver. Indeed, the number of needs and opportunities are vast. And so we pray for workers, and we pray for the gospel to go forth. Please also pray for our radio ministry, day by day, that goes out Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., in Greater Vancouver, Vancouver Island, and in Northwest Washington. I had the privilege this week of counseling a man who phoned up. He had already made a doctor's appointment, and he was fearful that he already had contracted this COVID-19 virus. And I had the joy of speaking with him and opening the scriptures and praying with him. And I trust that God will use that word in his heart. He's been a radio listener for some time, and in recent weeks I've had a number of such cases. So continue to pray that the Lord will use our radio ministry locally and across Canada. This is our mission. This is our way of going beyond the walls of our church to take the gospel to these places. And then may I remind you again of this appeal from the Mission Board for these particular needs that are arising due to this pandemic and the hardship that it's causing believers and people associated with our churches and missions in various places. And I trust that you will give as the Lord enables. And again, may I suggest that you go to the website, look at the news section, and there you'll find the details on this. So may the Lord be praised as we seek to live for him and serve him in these times. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we give thee praise for this time in your word, and we are so thankful, O Lord, that we have this model of missions, this pattern that is given us here, how we ought to pray, how we ought to minister, and to see missionaries go forth. We're thankful for those that are serving the Lord in so many different places. O God, be gracious unto them. We pray for thy watch care over them to keep them from this virus. We pray that they may be filled with the Holy Ghost and power to proclaim the gospel with power. And I pray that there will be many conversions. O Lord, we read here in the book of Acts, the early church, that men just went into an area and people heard the word. They were believed and turned to the Lord. How we need to see that again and again. O God, may it please thee to work by thy Spirit and by thy power. O Lord, use your word even today. Use this webcast, use the radio ministry. May precious souls, may the fear of God bring them to realize their need of the Savior. Oh, we just pray that you will work in power in these times. Bless each of our congregations, bless all of our ministers and elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers. Lord, grant that very soon every one of our churches will be back into full swing again to worship the Lord and to be living witnesses for Thee in our communities. We need Thee, Lord. We need Your power. We need Your presence. And we call upon Thee earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus. And now, Lord, be with us. Bless us in the week to come. Keep Thy hand upon us and use us for Thy glory. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your people now and ever. Amen. Amen.